Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, as always, and this is the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On the podcast today, we've got a really great interview with two leaders in the fight against crime in local shops, the fight against shop theft, the fight against abuse, and I think some real progress that's been made over the last year. Obviously, for everyone listening, if you're a retailer or even a supplier, you would have heard of or experienced the unprecedented levels of theft and abuse that retailers are facing at the moment. This has been an issue that's been rising up the agenda significantly over the last 12 to 18 months, which is something we're going to go into in the discussion. And there are two people no more qualified than these to be able to discuss this. That's Katie Bourne, who has been the Sussex Police and Crime Commissioner for over a decade, and Patrick Holdaway, who is the lead on the National Business Crime Centre, and both of which were at our Heart of the Community conference recently. And those of you that have spoken to both Katie and Patrick will know that they have a wealth of experience in this area. And there have been some real significant updates over the last couple of weeks. So we've had the publication of the Retail Crime Action Plan, which is something that James will go into with Katie and Patrick, and all the details on that and what retailers can expect in terms of change. And also some more developments on Operation Pegasus, which has a fancy name and is all about AI and recognition and identifying offenders. So Katie will dive into the details on that. So without further ado, let's get into this, I think, really brilliant discussion with James, who's leading, and Katie Bourne and Patrick Holdaway.
So hello, everyone, and we're absolutely delighted to be running a special podcast today looking at the massive issue of retail crime. And we hear so much about retail crime that it's easy to maybe feel sort of battered by the subject. We hear so many things. You have so many incidents in your stores of shop theft and other incidents. But what we're really focused on at ACS is trying to push forward to try and find some solutions, some ways forward, some ways of improving that situation. In doing that, we work very closely with partners throughout the industry, but also in the enforcement community. So delighted to be joined today by Patrick Holdaway from the National Business Crime Centre. Hi, Patrick. Good to see you.
Good afternoon, James.
And Katie Bourne, Police and Crime Commissioner for Sussex. Hi, Katie.
Hello, James. Great to be here.
That's great to be here. Thanks again. It's an opportunity to thank Katie again for a great contribution to our Heart of the Community conference recently, which went down very well. And hopefully what that did was inspire people, especially if you visited the stand that Patrick was running on the day as well, inspire people to think about what can be done to tackle this massive problem. And I think hopefully people came away energized. So let's try and continue with that energy. I'm going to reflect a little bit first with you, Katie. What's led to crime being sort of pushed up the agenda so much more, and retail crime pushed up the agenda over the last 12 to 18 months? What's new? What's different?
Well, for me, it was when the major retailers reached out to me and said they wanted two things. One, they wanted it higher up the government's agenda, and as a politician and a member of the party that's in power at the moment currently, that I seem to be the right person to do that. But they also wanted a front door into policing, where they could just talk to kind of one team rather than 43 different police forces. So that's where it's really happened. And I think coming together with the work that we'll probably talk about, looking at the serious and organised crime gangs that are operating, that I think genuinely has helped enormously. And media have really picked up on it, sometimes positively, sometimes not so positively. But for all good reasons, it's great that everybody's talking about it.
Yes, definitely built up that momentum. And I suppose that momentum, Patrick, not culminating, but the last big staging post was the Retail Crime Action Plan. What was the process to get to that? And tell us a bit about what's in that plan. What can we pick up on from that plan?
So you're right, James. So I think, you know, there was a lot of really good intervention by retailers. And I think I think there are a lot of the retailers coming together to share their message, which clearly made a real impact on government and across policing. So it was those discussions with the policing minister through the Retail Crime Strategy Group that we kind of pulled that plan together. It's a very clear direction of travel that we wanted to go down. So there were some the National Business Crime Centre were involved, as well as some senior police officers, National Police Chief's lead, to look through and kind of meet those expectations and kind of come up with a plan that kind of supportive businesses, but it was also kind of very clear in what policing could actually deliver. So there was a bit of engagement as well to make sure that we could kind of meet both kind of needs going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk a lot today about the action plan. One part of that, Katie, that you kind of alluded to there, serious and organised crime, particularly across police force boundaries. So operators are not just in one area. And a big part of the plan is around Operation Pegasus. Tell us a bit more about that. And I might want to see follow-ups, but tell us a bit more about it.
Well, the retailers reached out to me just before Christmas of last year. And they said, look, we've got a real problem with some of these organised gangs that are operating across our environment. And it's really impacting us in a negative way. And I remember saying to them, look, can you make it simple for me to understand when you say this? Give me some examples. And they gave me one example of a couple of individuals who were operating with some known associates. They'd had a bit of retail experience, so they knew how the background of these shops worked and they knew the processes. And they'd been able to defraud this particular retail chain of £1.5 million worth of goods into
just one gang, £1.5 million.
Just one small gang, yeah. And for me, I kind of said, okay, so what's the problem here? You know, apart from obviously the defrauding side of it. And they said, well, it took 2.5 years to catch them and get them convicted. And I asked, well, why is it taking so long? And what became really apparent was that these individuals, that this gang, were operating in different force areas. And while some of the police forces were undoubtedly doing some great work around them, you know, they'd arrested them, they were gathering the intelligence. Once they'd arrested and they were gathering intelligence, making those investigations, they would release them. And of course, they'd hop over the boundary into another force area and do the same thing again. And none of the police forces were joining up the dots across the boundaries. And that's when it became quite apparent that this was such an issue. But for one gang to take 2.5 years to catch and convict and to be able to, you know, cause £1.5 million worth of damage of stolen goods, that kind of really dragged it home for me. And I thought, wow, I get this problem. So I asked them, you know, how big is it? And they said, well, there are many of these gangs operating. And I asked that simple question, how many? And they said, well, we can't tell you because nobody's actually got that overview. And that's where it became obvious that really policing needed to get this and grip it. And that's how Pegasus came about. So the retailers called themselves Pegasus. We called the group that to give us an identity. And I reached out through Chief Constable Amanda Blakeman, because having done this job now for 11 years next week, can you believe it? I knew that there was a national operation running through the National Police Chiefs Council called OPAL. And they looked at serious and acquisitive crime, of which business crime was one section. They looked at vehicle theft and agricultural theft, this sort of thing as well. And I reached out to her and said, look, I've got a number of retailers who want to help. And that's how it all started. And the rest really, I suppose, is history.
Yeah, well, that's also the future, isn't it? So you've got to have it working now and see how we can share that information between teenagers. And so some of our members will experience that, I mean, both larger groups, but also people on force boundaries and so on will suffer from this particular problem. Yeah. So if you're a retailer and want to get involved in that information sharing, the starting point is through your local force initially, to try and get that information fed into the Pegasus system.
Well, yeah, I mean, so the initial retailers who are part of this group, you know, they're the big boys and girls, if you like, and they are funding a team, standing up a team within OPAL, who will gather all the intelligence from across all their sectors and share it with the police in a format that the police can then use. Because it's really important that when a retailer passes information over to the police, that information is usable and actionable. Otherwise, all you're doing is giving your local police force loads of information they can't do anything with, pushing up their reporting numbers, but reducing their opportunities to actually capture that individual or convict that individual.
Yeah.
And that's no good for anybody. So the big retailers are looking just at the organised crime gangs. And then I think once that starts to work with policing, I'm sure we're going to see better relationships filtering down.
Okay, so that's, I mean, it's really interesting that obviously we're talking here about, say, crime across boundaries. But Patrick, I think a lot of the issues that retail, a lot of members are having are about reporting crime locally. Partly relating to the plan, but actually regardless of the plan, what do you think good reporting looks like and good systems look like for reporting? And what advice can you give our members on how to report crime, exactly as Casey says there, in a way that doesn't actually just go into a black hole or create an administrative mess? How do we report crime in a really effective way, ultimately, to catch those individuals, stop them reoffending?
Yeah, and reporting is so, so important, because I think, you know, we're looking at the organised crime picture. The businesses would say there's 8 million shop thefts, and we're probably seeing less than 5% of that. So for policing to identify that organised crime groups, it makes it really, really difficult. So that quality reporting is really important. I think the other important bit we're seeing regularly is, of course, businesses will phone up and report a shop theft where there's also been an assault, but often they report the shop theft and not mention the assault. And so much of the Retail Crime Action Plan talks about an assessment of phone calls that come in. And the kind of drivers for that are very much around the kind of assaults, the fact the offender's locally, is still nearby, you know, how the staff feel, etc. So when, you know, the advice from us, when you report a crime, give as much information as you can, particularly where there has been some violence or the offender is still locally, because they're the kind of factors that would determine that kind of immediate kind of police response going forward.
Do you know, that's so important. Can I jump in here, James?
Please.
Because
yeah,
what Patrick said really rings true. So I had an instance a couple of weeks ago, a young 18-year-old woman who works in one of our stores locally, part-time because she's a student. And she said that there was a particular group of young people coming in every day, well known to them, who were constantly just thieving and making misery in the shop. And she would sit there on the till at 4 o'clock or whenever it was, watch them gathering on the other side of the road. Up would go their hoodies and she'd shout to the manager, they're on their way. And everyone would sort of gird their loins and get prepared. And she said, the police are doing nothing. So I went to our chief superintendent, who's taken over business crime in Sussex, told her this story. She looked into it and she said, you know what, in that particular store, how many reports of crime they've given me in the last 6 months? She said, just two. And yet this is happening on a regular basis. So, you know, it's not fair that the police get a bad rap around this, because half the time they don't know it's going on because it's not properly reported to them. So I do think that, you know, retailers actually need to take stock here and stop, keep blaming the police for inaction, and actually work with their local force and say, come on, what is the information you need? Sure. And actually let them know. So then the police can do something about it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, my experience talking to retailers is a lot of them have kind of been battered by this for so long and have lost some faith.
Yeah.
And hopefully, and this is why I'm really genuinely excited about the plan and about the work we've been doing over the last sort of year, 18 months and more, is like, I think we can break that cycle, which is a phrase we'll use in other contexts in this discussion as well. We can break that cycle because the retailer needs to have faith that when they do report, the first thing, they can do it in a way that's feasible and workable, actually, rather than spending hours and hours and hours trying to, you know, wait for the police and then give footage and so on. But they can do that in a really efficient, effective way, then have faith that it will be acted upon, whether that means police coming out or whether it means being used and investigated as part of putting together other information. And then ultimately, I suppose maybe it's an issue we get into now, that there's then faith that the courts and the criminal justice system will implement effective penalties. Yeah. So it seems to me you've got all those links in the chain and they've all got to be right. And you're only as strong as your weakest link, to continue the analogy. And I think that's kind of what we've got to work on. So, I mean, Patrick, the number of forces now, how many have got effective online reporting? I don't know if an exact number, but is that now most of our members can expect to have good online reporting available?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a lot of them use what they call a single online home, but I think, I can't think of any force that doesn't. I think all forces have that opportunity. And I think, so that's the other part, James, about that efficient reporting. So there will be occasions where you report a crime online will be the best route as opposed to phoning 101. Yeah. You know, that can get busy at times of demand, et cetera. And clearly, if the incident's been and gone, or it took place the day before you report it, then clearly you want to make it the most efficient way. Because we do know for businesses, there is a cost to reporting. You know, there is, on occasions, reduced headcount within the shops. So you want to make the best use of that. And, you know, reporting online is a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also a point you made about differentiation, you know, where you've got an incident, an assault, and there's that is clearly that's a 999 call at the time to try and to get someone out to try and deal with that assault which is happening at that time. That is clearly different to a theft which happened several hours before, and it's trying to differentiate between those things, isn't it, so that police can deal with it appropriately. But we have faith that police will deal with it all appropriately.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and that's what the Retail Crime Action Plan is seeking to make that clarity around. These are the areas that we will prioritise attendance. So it talks about where someone has been detained by the shop as well. We realise that's a really risky opportunity for the retailers. You want to get that support as much as we can. Where violence has taken place. It talks about a thrive assessment, and that's just that ability that police forces can make sure that they send those resources to the right location at the right times. You know, we don't want to send them to the wrong place to find a job comes in or an incident comes in where someone's been detained and we don't have a unit or a resource available at that time. So it's making sure we put the right resources in the right place, which you know, businesses do day in, day out, don't they? So they'll understand that.
And the marshes, because I can never remember, the THRIVE stands for threat, harm, risk, investigation,
victim, and kind of engagement, expectation type stuff.
So it's a risk assessment across those criteria as to what prioritises a response. So worth me trying to remember that, isn't it, at some point? Yeah. Casey, I'll kind of cut across to you. You're talking, I think, things about sort of courts and effective penalties and remedies around people who are caught.
Yeah, well, so as a police and crime commissioner, my powers are extensive, but not that extensive.
Indeed.
They don't really go as far as the courts. I'd love them to, though. But it is a very common problem, isn't it? So, you know, you've got your offender, you've got one or two cases against them, you manage to get it to magistrates, and you don't really get the outcome that you kind of want. And they're back out on the street again, doing it all over again, which is why I think when, you know, what we've been talking about, the actual reporting bit is so important. And for the retailers to be realistic as well, I think. So, you know, when they do put that report in, if that person is well known to them and does come back time and time again, it's really worth saying that, because the police will ask, you know, are you in threat now? Well, no, they've left the store. If the retailer then says, but we do know them and they come back frequently and they'll probably come back later, that then gives the police more information around the actual, you know, threat of that individual. But when we get to court, again, it's about building the case, getting as many cases on somebody as possible, which is why it's really good to actually get your force to look at the prolifics. So on the ground level, you know, it's those individuals that come back time and time again who cause the most harm. So if you can go after them and you can build the case against them, then you're going to get really good convictions. We had the, Patrick probably knows this, but we're obviously he's been running the Safer Business Action Weeks, week before last in force areas. And I have to say in Sussex, they had something happening every day across the force this time, which was great. And Chris Nielsen, our business lead, did a fantastic job. And there was one guy who was well known, and they've got him for 30 separate incidences. Okay. So we know he's going to get a really good result. But I'm also talking to ministers at the moment, you know, around, I raised the idea around, why can't we tag the prolific shoplifters? Oh my gosh, the amount of members of the public that have written saying to me, oh, what a great idea. I have one lady even offering to monitor them herself on her laptop. I mean, but I've got to put her, you know, manage her expectations around this one. But actually, we know that the prisons are full, and we know that there's an issue with, you know, court cases coming to court and that. So tagging a prolific offender seems like an obvious thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I will definitely be pursuing with ministers.
I think you're so right about prolific offenders, Casey, because we're talking about Pegasus and, you know, national crime gangs, if you like, or cross-force crime gangs. Often for our members, it's two or three people who are the crime wave. Yeah. I mean, that's those. Then if you take those out of circulation, then that whole estate or village becomes a safe. Actually, I've got an example of that from Sussex, actually, which is quite nice. Exactly that happening. People getting together, identifying those people. And I think what also says to me is, we talk a lot about the risks of challenging, and I think those are very significant risks which you take very seriously. But don't challenge doesn't mean do nothing. No. You know, you still have to report it and still have to get provide that sort of information. So, go on, Katie.
Well, I was going to say, at a local level, what can your local retailer do? You know, if I was Katie Bourne sitting there in Sussex thinking, I've got my store, I want a better response from police, where do I go? I'd bang on the door of my police and crime commissioner I think I said that at your conference, make your PCC your best friend and say, have you got a safer business partnership? If so, let me join it, because there I can get my voice heard. And that's where the retailers can come together with the police and work out some strategies and priorities that suit them. Everyone can manage their expectations as well. We have some very grown-up conversations in our partnership in Sussex about what the art of the possible is. You know, sometimes the retailers go, well, I've reported everything and nothing's happened. You've got to be realistic about, you know, what the police can and can't do, because they are pulled from pillar to post. And so it's agreeing those small steps that make a big difference. So agreeing to go after your prolific offenders. You can ask your force then, have you got a strategy for dealing with prolific offenders? And does it include shoplifting? Because the amount of forces that have prolific offender strategies, but they don't include shoplifters.
Okay.
Bizarre. So there's lots of little things that
absolutely
locally can do.
Yeah. Casey talked there, Patrick, about resources and about priorities. Can you give us sort of a flavour of that from a police point of view of how those sort of decisions are made and how we can get shop theft and retail crime generally higher up those priorities?
Do you want to do the operational one, Patrick?
Yeah, please. So I think, James, this is a good question, because, of course, police forces are very, very busy, you know, and it's about making sure they're busy doing, you know, the right things in terms of if we talk about retail crime in this particular instance. So that goes by that point earlier about making sure when you phone the police, you report a crime, that you're highlighting the risks, that threat, harm and risk, which is to you and to the local community, to make sure that that get the right resources. So they want to send the resources in the right place. But I can tell you now that, you know, since that retail crime's come out, we've been speaking to forces up and down the country. There's so much work that's being taken place from very senior officers around what they as a force can do to help drive that and help really support businesses. I think it's very much the work that took place over the summer, raising the profile, was really made a massive difference.
Yeah.
And we just talk about that, the prison bit, because I think the other bit to pick up on that is also when it goes to court, you've got to think that judge or magistrate's got to make those same decisions. You know, the use of those impact statements for businesses all have a really good effect as well in terms of the impact that individuals had upon that business. All of that can make a real difference in terms of what that judge or magistrate does in terms of sentencing as well going forward.
That's a really great point. I didn't have that in the things to talk about, and I'm really glad you raised it, because it's not just reporting the volume of crime, is it? But it's the qualitative evidence, if you like, about the impact. And that impact, yes, of business, but the impact on individuals, the human beings there. And you know, we talk about often differentiate between violence and theft, but of course one often leads to the other, and theft can still have a very personal impact on people, even when it isn't violence associated with it. Yeah. So Katie, you're coming on to our resources and so on.
Well, as a police and crime commissioner, you set the local strategy for policing your county. It's called the Police and Crime Plan, and it must reflect the priorities that matter to local people in it. So, as an independent retailer or somebody with a shop locally, I'd be looking at my local Police and Crime Plan, which should be online, and saying, is business crime one of the priority areas within it? And if not, why not? Because I think, police and crime commissions are elected every 4 years and we're all up for election next May. I would be bashing down the door of somebody that didn't have that in their manifesto, because this is so crucially important to all of us. And then you can, once you've made that a priority in your plan, the chief constable, when they deliver policing operationally, they have to have due regard to that priority, those areas that matter. So because they know that the PCC will then hold them to account throughout his or her term of office for how they deliver to that. So it's quite important. And for me to get this up my colleagues' radars, if you like, to make sure that they've got it in their plans, we've got over 90% now, I think, of police and crime plans feature business crime. Mm-hmm. So we're not 100% yet, but I'm working.
It's a lot better than it was. I mean, a few years ago,
there
was
much more than
it was. About 10%, was it? It's a very round.
It was much lower. But the other area I'm looking at now is because we have responsibility for victims of crime. So we get money every year from government to spend on victims of crime in our area. Now, of course, if you're a victim of crime as a business, you know, your shop workers, your employees, or even you as a shop owner might be a victim of that crime. You can access those services. So again, you know, make your PCC your best friend and say, where in your victim services Do you recognise that actually victims of crime happen within retail environments as well? And so I've got a local group working through our business partnership in Sussex with some of our retailers to actually say, what does that look like? What sort of guidance can we give for businesses to access that service as well? And actually just push it up the PCC's agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think for these final couple of questions, and we could carry on chatting for ages, and you know, we've been talking a lot for the last 18 months, so and long may that continue. But we now have the Retail Crime Action Plan, as I say, which I think is a really big step forward. What does success, I'll come to you first, Patrick, what does success look like? You know, if we're back here in a year's time, or say a year's time, what does it look like in terms of what retailers are seeing on the ground in their communities, the sort of support they're getting from the police and from the whole system?
So I've been involved in this for many years, and have very regular contact with a lot of businesses. So they're very quick to tell me when it does or doesn't work. So certainly for me, we were definitely looking for some improvement in terms of the policing response they're getting. The businesses for me are very realistic around what police can do. So, you know, they're not going to hold account for the odd occasion that doesn't work through. But for them, it's all about those prolific offenders, and they're really keen to see some action coming forward from police forces. But given the work that I'm seeing taking place and what's planned going forward, I'm really confident that we'll do that. So I think that feedback will be really positive, seeing some real differences, and hopefully that will mean taking some of those prolific offenders off the street.
Absolutely, that's a great, fully concur with that. Katie?
For me, it's there are many success priorities here. At a local level, as a police and crime commissioner, it would be, have I got it in my police and crime plan? Have I made it a priority for my chief constable to deliver to? Yeah. Have I got a strategy for dealing with prolific offenders that include shoplifting locally? Have I got a police officer who has the lead for business crime across the force? Have I got a dedicated business crime unit? Because our dedicated unit, in the cases that, in the intelligence that they've pulled together, the packages, they've got over a 70% conviction rate. Now, no force in the country conviction rates are that high. They're wallowing around 5 and 6% if you're lucky. So my force are now saying, well, if we can do it with a dedicated business crime unit, what else can we do it with? So, you know, these are just some basics at that. Have I got a safer business partnership set up locally that the PCC chairs, that businesses come to and the police come to? So those kind of local issues can be ironed out there and pilot projects put in and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Nationally, is Pegasus still efficient? Is it functioning? I intend to continue chairing it. We're going to hold policing's feet to the fire on this one. Retailers have put money into this, and rightly so, they want to see results. So for me, success at the national level is, have we got that single version of the threat? Do we know how many OCGs, you know, organized crime gangs are operating at any one time? And what does enforcement look like? Is that being disseminated down to forces at the regional level? And are they getting these gangs locked up?
Yeah, that's great. And so there's a national picture. There's also this, you're talking about the structures locally, if you like, and then the outcomes that Patrick talks about locally.
I think you can really see I'm very performance orientated.
Well, I think it's really important to, obviously, there are lots of good structures being put in place. But it is really important that, you know, we do focus on the outcome, isn't it? And the, you know, ultimately the proof is going to be in whether retailers are seeing those prolific offenders, you know, identified and ultimately taken out to circulation, whether that's through rehabilitation or prison sentences or any or whatever else it might be. So this is the final thing I'm going to say. I'm to you first, Katie. I'll give Patrick the last word. This can be a very depressing issue to talk about. And hopefully today's we've got a positive conversation talking about what can change, what can improve. So, and obviously we are literally, in this case, our members, many of them are literally victims of these crimes, but it's important, I think, not to feel like victims all the time. So Katie and then Patrick, leave us with a sort of positive thought that members might be able to focus on for the time ahead.
Well, I think the message is very much that, you know, we've got your back. The police are working incredibly hard. They're not on their side. They are. But they need to work with the retailers, and everybody needs that grown-up conversation, that realism, what is achievable, because you're not going to get 100% of what you want, but it's the step is moving in the right direction. It's great to see the Retail Crime Action Plan. I'm very grateful to the minister and to the Home Secretary for their support around this and for really ramping it up inside government, making it important. And just to let the retailers know that they're not alone. And if they are unfortunate to be a victim of crime, reach out to your police and crime commissioner, because it is their duty to make sure that you're looked after.
Great. Thank you, Katie. Patrick.
Yes, I suppose, you know, I've been in the National Business Crime Centre since, 2018. I cannot think of a time when we've had so much interest, whether that's police forces or political, in relation to the support around retail crime and targeting offenders. As I say, we've seen some great work, and I think that really will continue. And with, you know, the likes of Katie supporting us with Pegasus, I think we've kind of got all bases covered in terms of those kind of prolific, you know, the localised offending right up through to that organised crime group. So I think, you know, we've got that resource and direction taking us all the way through. So I think it's really looking really, really positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, positive, yeah, positive thing is read the Retail Crime Action Plan. That's a positive thing, isn't it? I think that, you know, if a lot of retailers are, you know, it's kind of what they've written themselves probably to a large extent. So let's focus on delivering that. And it's been great to have you both here today to talk about that in a bit more detail. Hopefully people do feel positive about what is a very difficult and obviously inevitably was quite a negative subject, but hopefully people do understand how there's a chance to try and to tackle this. We're doing lots of work with the police, a lot of work with police and crime commissions. There are elections in May, as Katie will be very well aware, for police and crime commissions locally. We'll be helping to share with members what the manifestos and the plans are for different candidates around the country. And please do engage with your local police and crime commissioners. I'm off to the West Midlands tomorrow to do exactly that with a member there. And they're always very, very useful conversations that I hope can bring some, well, they do bring some really significant practical changes. So Patrick, Katie, thank you very much for your support on an ongoing basis, and particularly for joining today, giving the time this afternoon. And we look forward to continuing to work with you in the future.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks.